If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I wanted to begin with this, that in our house we have a picture that says, "He who kneels before God can stand before anyone." And I think that that truth is seen right here in this passage. He who kneels before God can stand before anybody. And we see that in this study in Daniel. Now, from our last lesson, what we learned was that Daniel and his friends were confronted with something. What were they confronted with? Do you remember? It was a terrifying situation, right? There was a terrifying situation that was brought before Daniel and we had a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and the terrifying situation was that he was unable to interpret it. And so for those who weren't able to interpret it, what would happen? All right, they would be torn limb from limb, the text says. But there would be great reward for those who would be able to interpret it. So that was the terrifying situation. And in fact, as we closed out our time last week, we ended on a cliffhanger from our last lesson. Somebody mentioned that to me. That's what it was. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. We're going to pick it right back up from where we were. And what we see is we discover five truths concerning, we discovered last week five truths concerning this terrifying situation that came upon the doorstep of Daniel and his friends. And we saw that that first truth concerning that terrifying situation was that it was troubling to the king. The king wanted to know what that dream was. He wanted to understand it. And this dream was a dream that kept reoccurring. Daniel chapter 2, verse 3. Have your Bibles open. Look with me there at that verse. It says, "The king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream." King Nebuchadnezzar was troubled by this. He wanted to know what it meant. And so he called forth the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. But they were unable to do two things. One was that they were unable to quote back to the king what his dream was. I mean, what the king was asking was impossible. How would they know what his exact dream was? And so because of that, they were not able to interpret the dream. And they had asked the king for him to tell them his dream, and he wouldn't do that. And so they pleaded with him. Verse 10 says, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean." So they're saying, this is not fair. How are we going to interpret this? How are we going to give you this dream? So this was a terrifying situation. Verse 12, we ended on this note. "Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all of the wise men of Babylon." As we go through this text this morning, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2, verses 13 through 30. We're going to see a great biblical truth come out here in this text. And that great biblical truth, this is a truth concerning prayer. And here's that truth. Prayer gives us peace. It gives us the peace we need to confront life's difficult circumstances. Prayer gives us the peace we need to confront life's difficult circumstances. Let's read how Daniel responded to this terrifying situation that is found here in our passage today in Daniel chapter 2, verses 13. We're going to begin in verse 13. We're going to pick it up and we're going to read through verse 30. All right, so let's begin in verse 13 together. "So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, 'For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?' Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the night vision, and then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And this is what Daniel says, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and the hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and he went and spoke to him as follows, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." And the king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your minds." All right. Again, I want to bring forth that challenge to read Daniel chapter 2. Next, in 2 weeks, we're going to look at, in our next lesson, we're going to see that dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has, and then we're going to look at the interpretation of that dream. But there are a few things that take place right here in this passage today in verses 13 through 30, and that is that we see three ways in which Daniel is going to respond to this terrifying situation. We saw truths concerning this terrifying situation in our last lesson. This morning we're going to see three ways in which Daniel responds here. In fact, he's going to respond to it, and as he does, we're going to be reflecting on that critical truth concerning prayer, that prayer gives us the peace we need to confront life's difficult circumstances. So we're going to begin with that first way. What was the first way? Well, the first way in which Daniel reacted to this terrifying situation is seen right here in our first point, which is that Daniel has a prayer meeting. I love the response of Daniel here as he's confronted with this terrifying situation. We see this in verses 13 and 14. We begin to see how he's going to react to this terrifying situation. And from a human perspective, this was a very terrifying situation in a number of ways. Verse 13 says, "So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill him." And what's striking to me about Daniel's response is that in his response, he doesn't flee, he doesn't run away, he doesn't become angry at God. Those are not the responses that we see for Daniel. He isn't driven by his emotions. He could have been, The text certainly doesn't reveal that he was. He could have felt anxious about this. He may have felt like running away, but he doesn't. Instead, he is driven by something that we see here. And we see it time and time and time again in Daniel's life. We see that Daniel and his friends are driven by peace. A peace that only God can give. Daniel is driven by a peace that came exclusively from God. And for Daniel, before the Lord and before King Nebuchadnezzar, there are two things here that I believe he's considering in his own life. One is that he has a clear conscience. He hasn't done anything wrong. He has a clear conscience before the Lord. He has a clear conscience before man. Two, he has a powerful prayer life. His prayer life is tremendous, and that gave him assurance in knowing that God was near no matter the outcome, whether life or death. This gave him hope. This gave him great peace. And he was content in knowing this, that God was with him in the middle of this storm. I love what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power of love and of discipline. And for Daniel, he knew two things at this point. One was this, that what the king was asking was ridiculous. It was impossible. How could someone be able to relay back to King Nebuchadnezzar the exact dream that he had? He knew this, that out of all of the training that he had received in Babylon, out of all the education that he had received, out of all of the training that he had received in Jerusalem, everything that he had, all of the knowledge, all of the intelligence that belonged to Daniel and to his friends, yet they were still unable to declare to the king what this dream was. This was something that was beyond them. But he knew this, that his God knew. His God had an answer, and his God could provide him with just the right thing that he needed. And so what happens here, verse 14? Then Daniel replied. How does he respond? Emotionally, does he respond in anger? How does he respond here, verse 14? With discretion and discernment. With discretion and discernment. That carries the idea that Daniel made a direct and tactful approach as he would bring this matter before Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard. He would have a direct and tactful approach to Arioch. One commentary pointed out that Arioch would take time to explain this to one already condemned to death. Speaks well both of Daniel's approach and of Arioch's regard for him. Arioch was in the middle of killing these wise men. Daniel goes to him and is able to speak to him. And so Daniel brings forth a request from King Nebuchadnezzar. And that request we see and is found in verse 16. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him what? Time. That he would give him time, verse 16, in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Daniel's looking for time. And at this point in the passage, I want to just step back and ask Daniel to take a reality check here. He's asking for time. Verse 8, what happened there? The Chaldeans were looking for more time. In fact, they were stalling. Verse 8, the king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that command from me is firm. And so the question that I need to ask is why would King Nebuchadnezzar change his mind as he's considering Daniel? As Daniel is standing before him, why would King Nebuchadnezzar give Daniel more time? The Chaldeans were bargaining for more time. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't want it to take any more time. He wanted to have that dream interpreted. He wanted to know what was going to take place.
I think the previous interpretation of what they didn't really tell them the truth, and that's why he wanted them to say what the dream was.
Absolutely, that's absolutely right, Rose. He wanted those who he had spoken to as wise men, the Chaldeans. He wanted them to give him that dream so that their interpretation would be valid in his own mind. That's absolutely right. And so what changes the king's mind here? He's going to give. What was that?
God.
It was God. I believe this. I think that there is a real sovereign moving of God here in this text. God can change the minds of leaders. Can he not? He can. And we see that right here in this passage. God is going to change the mind of King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, Marshall? That's absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. And so he has that power, Carol.
And also, the wise men come to the king and nobody can do that. Their attitude was not a good attitude.
Yeah.
Daniel probably came to him very submissive.
Yeah, right.
And yeah.
Oh, that would help the king tremendously. Yep, yep. I'm sure the way in which he approached Arioch made a big difference as he would stand before the king. And so I believe there's a sovereign moving of God here in that God can change the mind of leaders. He can change the minds of family members. God can change the minds of those we work with. God has that power and that ability. And I see him at work here. The Lord is considering his servant Daniel. This is an amazing text of Scripture. Something that God has been teaching me and that I have to be reminded of time and time and again in my life is that I am personally in a place where God wants me to be when I take my problems to him in prayer. It's that simple. Well, that's what we need to do. Go to him in prayer and take our concerns and our problems to him. He listens, he hears, he considers. And so what does Daniel do? He grabs his friends. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his faithful friends. His friends who he knows has a relationship with the Lord as well. And they have a prayer meeting. I love that. Walberg wrote here, he stated that although these four godly young men were in a great extremity, one can almost visualize them on their knees before God, fully believing that their God was able to meet their need. And instead of being in a panic, they prayed. They did what they needed to do. They got before the Lord and they prayed. And they asked the Lord for wisdom here. They asked him for an answer. And that brings us to the second way in which Daniel reacted to this terrifying situation that's seen here, and it's seen here. The second way is that Daniel has a praise meeting. Something amazing happens. Verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. God gave him this dream. Praise the Lord. And I love Daniel's reaction to this. He could have gotten so excited. He could have forgotten about the Lord at that point. And he could have went right into the king's chamber and said, King, I've got an answer for you. But what I love is how he responds here. He has a praise meeting. Before I go to the king, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise God. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. I love this passage. I love his response that he has. He blesses the God of heaven. Verse 21, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you. Before he even thanks him for that request, he praises God for who he is. Now just think, out of all of the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans within the Babylonian Empire, calling upon all of their dark forces and going to their satanic rituals, they were unable to come up with an answer for King Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel has an answer. He has an answer. God gives him that answer. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 11 he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, how unfathomable are His ways." And that passage in Romans chapter 11 speaks in relation to salvation. But His knowledge is clearly seen there as well, in that it is truly greater than anyone else's knowledge. And Daniel says it this way in verse 19, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him." It is God alone who knows the end from the beginning. God alone who knows those things that have been concealed to finite minds. Daniel's theology, I want to point this out as well, as we look at those that beautiful praise that Daniel gives. His theology is sound, it's correct, it's biblical. Daniel knew his God by what he read in the Scripture. I love his theology. He says, "To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power." Out of all the education that he had received, out of all of the intelligence that he had, the most important thing that Daniel had in his life was his relationship to God. And God gave to Daniel the king's dream and the understanding of this dream so that Daniel would be able to interpret this dream to the king. That brings us to the third way in which Daniel responds. He responds in praising God, and then we see therefore. There's the therefore. Now, after I'm done praising my God, and by the way, God answers prayer. He answers prayer in our lives. And we ought to give Him praise. When we see Him answering prayers in our own lives, we can stop and thank Him and praise Him for that. Now, we see this therefore. Okay, now it's good to go. Let's have a direct meeting. I've had this prayer. I've praised my Lord. Let's have a meeting. Well, we need to remember that prayer gives us peace when we need to confront life's difficult circumstances. I want to paint this picture here for a moment from this passage. Daniel is going to stand before one of the most powerful men in all of the world. And he's going to bring to this king what he believes is an answer to the king's problem. He's taking a leap of faith here. He's taking a step of faith in what he knows God has given to him. Now he's going to relay that to the king. And he knows full well that if he is wrong, King Nebuchadnezzar, all he can do is he could wave his hand, he could snap his fingers, and that could be the end of Daniel's life. And so this is very intimidating. And by now, King Nebuchadnezzar, we remember from our last lesson, he has smoke coming out of his ears, right? He's frustrated. He wants to know what his dream means. And so Daniel's going to stand before him in faith, believing that God has given him the answer. Verse 24, "Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king.'" Notice Arioch's response here in verse 25. It says, "Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, 'I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king.'" Wait a minute, who found who here? Did Arioch find Daniel? Arioch's getting before the king and he's saying, "I want you to notice what I've done here, king. I found the right man for the job." I like what Warren Wiersbe said about this. He stated that Daniel wasn't the kind of person who worried about who got all the credit, so long as God got the glory. We see Arioch's response there before the king. But Daniel sets the example. He sets the example for any believer. He's acting on faith with God's glory in mind. And notice with me, if you will, this conversation that Daniel has with the king of Babylon concerning the king's dream. Verse 27. As for the mystery, he's standing before the king. Daniel is before King Nebuchadnezzar. As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. In other words, you have consulted earthly wisdom, O king. And that wisdom has failed you. However, verse 28. However, I love that, however. Daniel is saying, Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to consider my God. I want to, just for a moment, boast in his knowledge. I want to, for a moment, boast in his strength and in his power and in his truth. King Nebuchadnezzar, I want to tell you about the God that I serve. Verse 28, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. God was the one, the God that I serve, the God that I know, was the one who gave me your dream. And he is the one who has an answer for you. And so he proceeds to tell him. It was the Lord who was the only one who had that answer for the king. Maybe it is that right now you're going through a situation and you're looking for an answer to a difficult situation. We are living in the information age. There are a lot of books out there with a wide range of subjects. There are blogs that have been written where people share their ideas, but there is only one person who has a perfect answer, and it is the Lord. And we find the answers to life from His Word. And we can trust Him. We've got just a few minutes. I want us to turn to Psalm 104. Keep your hand here in Daniel 2. In Psalm 104, verses 31 through 33, the psalmist has his focus on God as his creator. And what I love about this psalm is that the psalmist rejoices in knowing his God. Psalm 104, verses 31 through 33. Verse 31 says, "Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Is that our heartbeat cry today, this morning? That we would consider our Creator, and that as we would, that we would be refreshed and re-energized. Daniel continues this dialogue with the king back in Daniel 2. He continues this dialogue with the king and he makes known to him three truths about this dream. The first truth that Daniel made known was that there is a king in heaven who is far greater than any Babylonian deity, and it is his God who alone, he alone can reveal that which is hidden from any heart or mind in the universe. Daniel had the one answer, and it was God that supplied him with that. Number two, the second truth that Daniel made known to the king was that these visions and dreams that he had received, they concerned something, they concerned the future. Daniel says in verse 29, you'll note here, he says, "While you were on your bed, your thoughts turned to what? The future." They turn to the future. And then Daniel says, "And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what hasn't already taken place, but what will take place." This is future tense. And then, so he reveals that to the king. And so Daniel, what Daniel says is what's going to take place. Then there's a third truth that we find, and that is that Daniel was making known to the king what the reality is. and the purpose of this truth coming out for the king's knowledge. In other words, Daniel wanted the king to understand that this dream has been made known to the king so that the king might understand it. God wants King Nebuchadnezzar to understand some future things that are going to take place. And God is going to use his faithful servant Daniel to deliver that message. And in our next lesson, we're going to find out what that message is and the interpretation of it. As we conclude, I think King Nebuchadnezzar was probably shocked. I think as Daniel's standing before him, I think he is, I think he's got the deer in the headlights look. Here is someone who is claiming to have an answer for him in regards to his dream. All right, let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are shocked and stunned by who you are. Lord, your wisdom is so great. You know the end from the beginning. Lord, you know what has taken place perfectly in the past, and you know what will transpire in the future. And Father, there is a great hope here for us as your people. You have tremendous plans for the future, Father, that we can look forward to with great hope. And I want to thank you for Daniel and his faithfulness. And Lord, I want to thank you for this study now. I pray that we would leave here with a great awe as we consider you and who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.